And then there were four.
Four!
Nah, dude, not that kind of four.
Four men, four minds, eight fists, and a heap of silliness. They've traded in the bedroom for a proper studio.
And as always, these gents will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come down to that.
Thanks to the butcher shop, Kayleen. Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, Scotty.
Yes, I died for 6 minutes. No, there wasn't a lie.
Masters.
Ben. In Soviet Russia, I punch you.
Edwards. Steve. Hey, baby, want to see my microphone payoffs? And Duke.
How good do my abs look?
Didier.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, season 3, episode 16. All up 63 episodes of this wonderful little thing we try and do every winter period in the ACT. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm running late.
As always.
And I'm the Duke, and I was on time.
And I'm Stevie P, right on time.
Indeed, indeed.
Stevie comes on time all the time.
Right on time.
Don't worry about that.
Oh, dearie me.
What's happening, that? Boys?
It's my turn to be tired this week. A full weekend of running through the bush.
Did you eat the little baby pigs that you killed?
I didn't kill little baby pigs, Ben. We killed its mother, and they were inside it. So what we did is we saved a poor farmer.
Would they be
like
real tender?
Well, you'd have to ask the pig dogs who ate them. Yes, probably.
That was intense, man.
Mate, we were eradicating pests is what we were doing on the weekend up at Lightning Ridge. But I'll talk more about that later because it did inspire a top five for me.
You're doing a lot of man things.
Top five, listener question, everything.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to know about your hunting trip, Scotty. It's good.
Sign of survival. Okay.
Yep, trust me. Look at that.
Hey, Benny's real pumped this week. Look at him.
Doesn't sound sexual.
I've got
no wind in my sails at all.
I was going to say, man, you look pretty flat when you walked in. Did you have a big weekend, did you?
No, not at all.
No?
He's just working.
I've been training good.
We trained well.
We trained on Sunday. Everything's been going good. It's hard, and I'm whinging all the time. I hate you on becoming. I've been a public servant for like 5 shifts, and it's already changed me.
Duke, mum and dad's back. You got a wolf hat. I saw mum that
and
on
dad's
Snapchat.
Looks
good.
Yeah, they brought me back a hat of wolf's hair.
Yeah, they're like Russian Davy Crockett.
Oh, I love it. I'm going to wear it to the football this weekend. I can't wait. I haven't taken it off since I got back. It's awesome. So.
Nice.
You've been training in it as well, Duke?
Oh, look, I wear it to and from
on
training.
The job in it as well.
Oh, that's disgusting, mate. Been enough trouble over the weekend. Let's move on.
Speaking of on the job, Stephen, two quiet weekends for you. What's going on, mate?
Unbelievable, isn't it, mate? I don't know what to do with myself. Waking up fresh on a Sunday is quite a bizarre experience, let me tell you. 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning, going, oh, what's going on here? Bins are out by 10:30. It's all very, very strange, but it's been good, though. Enjoying it.
Very, very nice.
Everything's going well, mate. Looking forward to hearing about your adventure, though, mate, which is going to come up later on, which is going to be good.
We've got your mate Spinky is sending like three.
Pinky.
I can't wait to hear him.
Three cracking listener questions.
Yeah, mate, brilliant. Yeah.
Spanky.
A big gay day to Pinky.
Who
Spinky,
you sending
Spanky.
Selfies to, Duke?
My friend Deansy. Deansy tried to call me, so I quickly sent him a Snapchat saying, I'll call you after this.
This is where I am.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
It was a good. I'll send you everyone. I'll put the selfie up on the internet as well.
Yeah, happy with that now? After last week, that was good, wasn't it? Straight up.
That was cool, that photo.
Oh, which one? Oh, I thought I'd have to go with the baby face photo.
No, that was good. Yeah. I thought it was you for a second.
It was me.
Yeah.
It was me, mate. Well, that's
modern
me
day.
Now.
Modern day.
Yeah. No, it's true. And then all my mates go, oh, grow a beard, idiot. They all know I can't. So there you go.
It's been running joke for 30 years.
Yeah. Just can't do the facial hair thing. But anyway, we'll get to that and plenty more on the show. I do believe after the success of last week and the fact that Ben did no prep for this episode of the podcast that it's Biffarama talking takedown or whatever.
Taking over this segment again.
Talking Takerama.
It's hard when there's no fights on.
This
was a really quiet... Went all over the boxing and kickboxing, where there's not a lot of news at all.
All right,
I did some homework.
There really isn't.
we'll see how much
I contribute to your segment.
I got some questions for you, boys.
I do have some questions for you about the upcoming Conor and Khabib fight, but it's got to do with the ticketing side of things. I'm curious to know how that works.
Well, we'll get to that and plenty more. Let's kick it off with a bit of music. Slash's new album is on the way later this year. It's called Living the Dream. Let's be honest, he is living the dream. I think the last two summers he's been touring with Guns N' Roses. On a reported $8 million a gig for the band. They've done, I think it was 90 dates.
Yeah.
So do the math on that. That's
But imagine the royalties just for one of their songs of Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah, that's right.
That'd be insane.
Driving Rain is the name of the new single. This is with his band that's got Miles Kennedy from Alter Bridge in it and a bunch of other guys, and it's a bloody cracker. So I thought we'd kick off the podcast with it this week. Thanks to The Butcher Shop in Kaleen. It's the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, season 3, episode 63 in total. How we've got that far, I'll never know, boys, but we continue to plug on, smashing ratings worldwide. This is the Blockbuster podcast.
Just ask us.
Just ask us and we'll tell you all about it. Stevie P, Scotty Masters, Benny Edwards and Duke. And now it's time for this.
And now it's time for Talking Takedowns. With the man who has a tattoo of Bon Jovi on his left ass cheek.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome Duke Didier.
And it's also time for this.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind.
Wow! So now it's time for Ben's Biff-O-Rama.
That's insane in the memory.
Oh, there we go, eh?
Crossing the streams.
Are we ready for this again? It is
combining
just a ripper
segment.
Combining, but that doesn't change. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Talking Takedowns.
People are and 50% more excited than they normally are.
So this week I did my homework, but normally it's Ben that does his homework, so we can't get too angry at him. I copy his homework every week. This is the first time that I've been on top of things. Yeah, it's been pretty quiet in the fight scene. Hey, Benny. So
very quiet weekend. I actually did try to do a bit of homework, but there just wasn't anything that jumped off the page. Like, oh, I've got to talk about that.
Yeah.
We've kind of touched on all the real big topics.
Yeah.
So,
we sort of covered it. Oh, so we're going into a pretty different realm. We're going to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu now.
Yeah. Okay.
Rusma Pelaharis, I'm not sure if you guys remember him. He was the leg locker in the UFC, and he took a few legs off, and he was renowned for holding on when their opponents would tap, and he'd hold on longer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Had a pretty bad reputation.
He used to train with the Nogueira brothers, and even when he got let go from the UFC, they said, look, he's mentally, he's like a child.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Really like in the head, he's a kid.
Like he lives on a farm
and
in Brazil.
His nickname in Portuguese is Tocuino, which means the tree stump, because he's built like one. But he's kind of like he's an oak tree stump these
days.
Well,
he was a small tree, and now so he used to fight at welterweight.
Now he's a big.
He was 77 kgs.
And he's going to be fighting Australia's Craig Jones, who's the breakout star of 2017, 2008 in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He trains down at Absolute MMA in Melbourne.
Yep.
And he's a leg lock master. And so he's been completely... He beat Charles Sonnen. He beat... who was the other guy? Lindrelo. I've got the name here.
There's been a bit of a... I don't know if it's called a revolution or not, but in Jiu-Jitsu, like leg locks the last couple of years has really been like really exploded as like the next big thing, because there's always sort of like, well, is it considered dirty to go to the legs?
Well, I don't know. It just wasn't something anyone knew about. And so John Danaher, one of the guys over in America, has come up with, he's a New Zealand bloke, but he's going, why wouldn't we, you know.
Why do we ignore 50% of the human body?
Why are you ignoring 50% of the human body? So it's interesting. So leg locks are the big trend now in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah, right.
And these two guys are the masters of the
and
leg
they're
lock.
They're scary, man. As soon as someone, if you feel like your knee's about to just get torn apart, it is horrifying.
Yeah, they're horrifying. And they're a hard thing to work out, because it's something we're not, like, it's something.
White belts aren't allowed to do them in competition. Yeah. Like, they're really dangerous.
Yeah, so, right.
In what respect, boys? Like,
you can just rip apart your knee, destroy all the ligaments.
Can't be any worse than doing an ACL in something
well,
like
that. Yeah, but it's an ACL, PCL, LCL. It literally just tears your knee apart.
I love it when you get doctor-y, Ben.
If you Google leg lock accidents or whatever for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you see some horrifying things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was I going to say? Craig Jones, he's beaten Jake Shields, Charles Sonnen, and a few other guys. He nearly won the ADCC last year in 2017. That was his breakout year. And now he's pretty much known as one of the top guys in the country.
In the world, yeah.
So he's fighting Pelaharis. And Pelaharis, a photo just got released of him. He looks like a character of a video game.
I thought it was photoshopped, but it's legit. And he's got this dirty mustache. mate, you should see. He's on all the drugs.
Straight out of Tekken or something.
He is on all the drugs. Yeah, absolutely.
This is what Duke was talking about, swole. Though, when he wanted to talk
he's
about it.
He's wider than he is tall.
He was.
Yeah. He's SpongeBob. He's SpongeBob Paul Harris.
Just jacked up to
him, I'm trying to get up
off
with Scotty.
He's nuts, man.
It's just disgusting.
It's a sentence I didn't think I'd ever hear. Duke Didier, I'm trying to get it up for Scotty.
I'm trying to get it up. There it is. Okay, idiots. There he is there in the corner.
Oh, Jesus Christ. He looks like Ram Man from He-Man.
Wow-wee.
So,
Look up his low-light reel, and it's just him like holding onto legs.
Just snappy ACLs.
And like ending people's careers.
And Craig Jones fights at like 88 kilos. So,
What's Bruce ACL snappage?
Well, he's he reckons he's weighing just over 100 kilos.
Yeah.
Which he looks about 130.
Yeah.
But
he's probably like that tall.
But he's taking all the steroids. So that's going to be that's this weekend on Kasai. It's a grappling show. I haven't really watched
it. I watched the promo video for that, and Craig Jones just said, "Oh, when I tap, please let go." But I actually think he's just self-deprecating Aussie. He's actually a gun.
Yeah. So and the
that's good humour though, isn't it? Like, yeah. You know, yeah. Giving you off the impression you get smoked up, but you actually come in.
Even Gary Tonin said that. Yeah. He was practicing tapping and stuff before he had a role with the same dude.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's just got such a bad reputation for doing serious damage to fighters that, like, mate, if you tap, you let go. So, like, it's I don't understand, but hopefully no one gets injured in that fight because it's gonna,
but everyone's going to be watching. Yeah. It's like a car race with a car accident.
It's Rusama's, like two knockout artists going at it, but in grappling, someone's going to get their leg broken.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, so we'll see what happens there. And it's interesting, leading off that, Palhares has said he doesn't really want to cut weight anymore. And that's been the talk in sort of MMA right now, is that is it cheating to be able to cut as much weight? If you're naturally sitting quite heavy, is it a form of cheating to be able to cut yourself down and then get back up? Because
That is the new narrative. But there are some guys that can just cut weight really well. Gleason Tibau comes to mind. And so is Darren Till, as I'm sure we're about to talk about.
You're talking about, hang on, boys. You're saying that the guys that can naturally get down a lot more easy than other guys, and therefore they're fighting it
So just say I'm fighting you. We're both. You walk around at 70 kilos.
Yep.
I'm 84. I'm 84.
Please.
No, I'm 84 kilos, and I'll diet for 3 weeks or whatever, and I can weigh in 70 kilos for that hour the day before the weigh-in. Mm-hmm. So by the time we get in the ring, I'm probably about 80 kilos, and you're 70 kilos. So I've got a huge size advantage.
Yeah,
no,
I get that part.
There are diminishing returns. Like obviously, if I've cut that much weight, my cardio is going to be affected. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of other things.
Unless you've worked out how to do it,
some people can do it really, really well.
So you're saying the people meeting it, like you say, so just say, mean you're all 70 and you're 82, but you have this uncanny ability to get down to 66. Whereas for me, I didn't cut as well, but I stayed fitter and sort of faster, stronger. Didn't go through such a process. Yeah. But obviously, when you come out of that, though, and you put that weight back on, you're going to be a big boy at 70 as opposed to you at 84.
But the biggest danger of that is for the person that cuts the weight, most of the time when there's been like a brain injury in fighting from one particular fight, it's because they cut too much weight.
Mm.
And I've spoken about this on here before. But you look at But you look at like the Japanese fighters. The Japs don't cut anyway.
Yeah.
And they never have any brain problems.
I've got some figures
here. Look at Sakuraba, man. Sorry to kick on you.
Yeah, you're right.
Sakuraba took more brain trauma than anyone. He was a little Japanese dude, fought everyone, fought murderers, fought Vanderlei at least three times, maybe four.
I mean, there's a way out of it.
And he's sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
And he's been flatlined like a million times.
But that's the exception of the rule. But
yeah, but there's tons of Japanese guys. Like, how many Japanese guys do you see that, like, oh, that guy had one too many fights?
So you think a lot of that's to do with the fact that they're going into the bout a lot healthier, a lot healthier,
brain of fluid, which is padding. For your brain.
Yeah, well, I've got some stats here from the last UFC from 227. So say, like, I'm just going to use TJ Dillashaw versus Cody Garbrandt as the example. TJ Dillashaw, he weighed at 61.2 kilos and then fought at 67.8 kilos. Now, Cody Garbrandt...
6 kilo, but that's 10%.
Yeah, though. Okay, but Cody Garbrandt, he weighed at 61 kilos, but he fought at 64 kilos.
So
TJ Dillashaw's got like 4 kilos of it on him in the fight, and that's huge in those lightweights. And I mean, look at Henry Cejudo; he weighed in at 56.4, and Demetrius Johnson weighed in at 56.7.
Yeah,
but then Henry Cejudo, he weighed less than Demetrius Johnson, so he's fighting at 63 kilos, and Demetrius Johnson 64.
So it's almost more natural for him though in that way.
So that's what the question is: is it affecting it? And like, you know, you look at Cejudo, he slightly beat Demetrius Johnson, but they're about the same weight. But then you look at TJ Dillashaw, Cody Garbrandt, and he had like 4 kilos on him.
Yeah.
So it's a question, and it's interesting. And the best person at it right now is Darren Till.
Yeah. I mean, is he the best? Well, because he didn't make weight last time. But he still won his fight, and he got a title shot out of it, which goes to show as we spoke about the other week.
Yeah.
What's the point of making weight? It's all just about making money. They don't care. Like, money is the priority for the UFC at the moment, especially with the buyout.
Darren Till was in a pub fight like last weekend.
Yeah,
and there was like footage of it in front of a nightclub, and then they won't do anything about that.
Yeah,
no. It's interesting though that there's the double standard. If you make money for the company, then they don't really.
Yeah,
care.
If you've got a
same thing happened in football though. If you've got skills, rugby league, look at the guys like playmakers that just we'll keep it going.
100%,
absolutely. But Darren Till's in a good position because he's got a personality. He's well spoken. He knocks people out.
Speaking of which,
and he's from Liverpool, and there's not that many UK stars, especially now Bisping's retired. We got the new guy.
He was great though after his last fight. Remember too when he came out? He was with his skull sucks. Yeah. Give me a title.
He's actually getting a bit of backlash right now for some comments he made. He was trying to explain that he's ready for the fight, but
fighting's his number one priority.
But have a listen to what he has to say, and then you guys can sort of make a judgment for yourself.
I just got a new contract, and it was a great contract. But I've I looked at it, I said, yeah, that's nice, signed it, and then that was it. You know, I'm working on legacy and greatness, so I trust my team 100%. I trust my coach, Colin Heron, 100%. So as long as I do all that work, legacy and greatness, all money will be there. So I don't worry about it. If, you know, you can't have worries outside of this game. You know, I've got a girlfriend who's you know, 7 months pregnant. I don't really care. I've got a daughter in Brazil right now who I haven't seen for 1 year. I don't really care. I just care about legacy and greatness. That's what I'm in this for. I'm not in this to make money, be a champion and leave. I'm in this for people to say at the end of it, you were the greatest. That's my only mentality. Fuck money and fuck everything else.
Yeah, so basically I can see where he's coming from. Like, as a fighter, and Ben, I'm sure you can too. Like, he's not saying he doesn't give an F about his kids, and he's trying to say that he's got a goal.
He's so focused on his goal.
He worded it terribly.
Yeah, thank you. That's exactly what I was going to say. I've got a singular
purpose.
Well said,
Dukie. That's like, I don't give a.
And for those that don't know, he got sent to live in Brazil by his trainer because he got stabbed in a nightclub fight or something when he was pretty young. He's still only young now, but I think he was a teenager.
So much trouble.
So he went over there. Now he's in nightclub fight last weekend, but doesn't matter.
Yeah, but can't wait for that fight. And
that's going to be an awesome. Have you seen the poster?
Yeah. Well,
he looks like 2 feet taller than him.
Well, in the standoff, that's what he looked like.
I thought they played with it a little bit.
Well, no, they had him stand off against each other.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he's huge. He's much bigger than Tyron Woodley. So there is, for the first time in a long time, someone might be able to beat Tyron Woodley, which
and
would be great.
Apparently they've got Kamaru Usman on standby if Darren Till doesn't make weight. But Woodley's also said that if he doesn't make weight, he'll still take the fight. So
we'll see what happens there. Mm. But that's it. That's coming up in a couple of, what is it, next month.
Yeah, you got Woodley and Tills on the 9th of September.
Yeah, that's next.
And you got Conor Khabib 7th of October, and then
sales aren't great for that one though. From what I can see, you can still get tickets to that.
Mate,
one.
That's what I was going to talk about is the pay per view thing.
Let's talk about it.
The pay per view.
It's the combined segment.
Pay per views went up like $5 to $10, depending on the pay per view last year. It used to be $49.95. It was like that for a little while. And this year, it's like 59, usually about around $60, give or take. Now, the first five pay-per-views of last year made $1.5 million, like $1.5 million sales.
Yeah.
And that was no Conor, no superstars, no nothing. So you can compare the first five pay-per-views of this year and last year. It's a pretty reasonable comparison. And this year was 860,000. So you've already gone down like 700, nearly 700,000 pay-per-view sales right there for similar quality of cards. Now, speaking of the quality of cards, I looked at the Conor Khabib undercard, what they got going on now. Man, the other eight fighters on the main card, I know four of them, and I'm the hardest of the hardcore fight fans. Mm. And so they've put all their eggs in Conor and Khabib, and
I didn't look at the undercard and went, who is on this? It's garbage.
They're going more the boxing model.
Put all in the main event and have a whole bunch of nobodies on the undercard, which, I think they just desperately.
I imagine if you said ticket sales haven't been that good, I'm imagining that they'd be quite expensive and be more expensive than.
But this is the thing. So let's go on to what I wanted to ask you, boys. So this is the Woodley and Till fight. It's at the American Airlines Arena. I'm not sure where that is. Probably Denver, Houston, something like that. It's in Texas, I think. Benny, is that right?
It's not in Denver. I know that.
Yeah. Okay. Could even be Dallas then. So basically, with that one, you can still get tickets to that one quite easily through the whole range of the actual event. The tickets go on sale for the Conor Khabib fight this week. So what they do is on the Wednesday American time, first thing in the morning, 10 o'clock, which is early in the morning for us on Thursday, they put it up for UFC, I think it's Fight Club or something like that. You boys know what that
fight
is.
Fight Club.
You sign up to it.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to talk about it, so that's why no one knows what
it is. So you get priority.
I did get a bit of a smirk out of it.
That's good. There we go. So
they get priority.
Correct. So you pay $150 or $180, and what you do from that is you get a t-shirt, a letter from Dana White, you get 2 free pay-per-views per year on the internet. I don't know if you then just work that into your TV if you want to watch it with your mates or something. But you get priority access to all of these events. So I'm thinking, okay, sweet. The next day you get priority access if you're a newsletter member. So all you got to do is just type in your email address and type in your password. password, sign up for a newsletter, takes 6 seconds. You get priority access a whole 24 days earlier. Then the public sale goes on sale on Friday. So my question to you is there a chance that this thing will sell out before it even gets to a public sale, or is there every chance it'll get to the public sale and sell out within 5 minutes?
They'd leave some tickets available for public, surely.
They'd have to. Well, I'm sure they would.
And what?
I'm
okay, sure, right? So the question that I have is...
But
is
if
that,
they got people that are prepared to spend McGregor Mayweather money for... In the nosebleeds, you're paying $5,000 or whatever.
But my question to you is it possible that you've got 25,000 people sign up to the UFC newsletter? I'm going to say it's a reasonable possibility. So yeah, if absolutely. All of those, okay, don't get me wrong, they're not all based in America or Las Vegas, able to travel to the fight. But is it how many will actually be able, you know, available for the public to go and be a part of this fight? It's the biggest fight in the UFC's history almost to this point. Unless, like you said, Conor goes on and fights
GSP,
but he's been in Australia this past week doing a speaking tour anyway. So whether or not he's going to be ready for something like
Australia saying, I want to fight Conor or Khabib.
Yeah. So who knows what's going to happen? I think the whole pay-per-view model is going to slowly go out. They're going to have to change it, man. What do they do, like 12 a year or something? Yeah, it's usually one a month.
It's got to change out, Benny, don't you think, because of the amount of access that you have to the free stuff now. You've got a full sports event every week.
And people aren't going to pay.
And if you're not that much of a hardcore fan, I'm a big fan.
We go to the bar.
I'm a big fan. You guys are that next level fan. So I watch all the free events come on. I love watching it. But then as it comes to pay-per-view time, it's like $60. I guess out of principle, you're like, mate, I'll ring the boys if I'm not doing something. And I'll just go hang out with you boys at the bar. We'll go have a few beers. I'll spend my $60 on lunch and a couple of beers as opposed to getting it home.
Cost the pub. I know McGregor Mayweather was $1,500 for them to have it on. But I went to Walsh's to watch that. And that place for a Sunday afternoon, there was 300 people in the pub. It was packed.
Yeah.
And all the clubs do that too. So they make their money back. And that's what a lot of fans are doing now.
So surely they've got to think about how they're going to work this model going forward in the future.
There's been calls where you should just cut it way back and just have like four massive shows a year.
But you look at all the other major sports in America, NBA, NFL, all of them, they're not on pay-per-view models and they're making billions and squillions. So, I mean, it sounds like, it just needs a review and a rehash.
I think it's definitely going to come to a head within the next couple of years, maximum.
Well, that's pretty much the fight scene for this week.
And I've just got one more thing I wanted to add. As we're talking about wrestlers that were passing away last week, one of my favourites when I was a kid was Jim the Anvil Norton.
Brett Hart's tag team partner.
I used to love the Hart Foundation.
Yeah. Except for
Brett Hart. The whole New Hart Foundation, which was from 97. Yeah. Except for Brett Hart, who's the biggest star out of the Hitman. He's the only one left, man. You got Jim Hart, Nine Hart, he died at 63 years old. That's a pretty good run especially for a wrestler.
Yeah.
By all accounts, a sweetheart of a guy, but the other three guys...
He was a loose dude, but I read Bret Hart's book. Jim Neidhart was a loose dude.
Yeah, he looked a little bit crazy.
Yeah, like real hard partier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
right. And 63. Yeah, you know, bad. That's awesome.
Like, I'm waiting for it.
I won't go into specifics what I read.
Love the party.
Allegedly.
Real bad.
Allegedly.
I always loved him. I always loved, like, because, you know, he was a character. He didn't have abs. He was just a big, strong, scary
Small
dude.
Joe.
Yeah.
He was, No! But the other three guys in the squad, Owen Hart, British Bulldog, and Brian Pillman, they died at 34, 39, and 35 years old.
Yeah, it's very sad. And we were just reading. I shared it with our little group chat. Brian Pillman might not have. Not Brian Pillman. Brian Christopher.
Yeah.
But Brian Lawler, he might not have killed himself.
Yeah. So Grandmaster.
Now that he was strangled.
Well, if you looked at the video that I shared, there's bruising around each side of his neck, but there's no bruising in the front of his neck. So it looks like he's had his hand stopping the shoelace. That's what they're saying. That's what they're alleging.
Yeah, he's being pulled from
behind. That's what they're alleging on this, and that's Jerry Lawler's lawyers and everything. They're looking into it. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously you don't want to ever think that your son passed away through suicide.
There's a lot of factors there. He might have, like, jumped and then he's changed his mind and tried to...
Yeah, and that's so many things could be, which they class it as death by misadventure
or whatever. Even if he got the rope off his neck, it'd still be a blood choke and he's gone unconscious, right? If
carotid artery, both sides.
Yeah.
Duke's Dr. Duke.
Duke's done that to me a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, so that's the fight game.
Another one dead.
Thanks, boys.
What do you get when you cross a former radio host, two Biff merchants, and the human version of Viagra? You get this. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Steve, and Duke.
Lads, I've got to tell you, the 70-litre ice chest full of meat that I took up to Lightning Ridge.
Got smoked.
Well, it's still there, but yeah, everything that I took up there, the boys just absolutely loved. In fact, one of the guys that was there, my cousin's father-in-law from Newcastle, now wants to order his meat from the butcher shop. He was that impressed with the Scotch fillets we did on Saturday night. Oh, my God. And then we did lamb in a campfire oven on the coals on Sunday night. And then last night, there's an old fuel stove. You know, you see the old ones, you light a fire in the middle, the big cast iron things.
Yeah.
They cooked the pork belly in the cast iron stove in this shearer's quarters that was built in 1914.
Yeah, wow.
The other night. And that'd just be awesome. Oh, man, it just looked sensational. I was spewing because I'd driven home by then, so I missed out on that. But, yeah, the butcher shop meat, as I said, you know how good it is when I take it 700 kilometres away to feed a bunch of blokes over the course of a weekend.
How many guys did you feed?
Eight.
Yeah.
Yeah, eight guys. So, yeah, we had a huge pile of meat. So, well, I think 11 kilos of bacon, 5 kilos of ham, jeez, 7 T-bones, 7 Scotch fillets, leg of pork, leg of lamb.
A lot of full bellies.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, a lot of full bellies. So, yeah, it was sensational.
I like Scotty's talking solemnly about it. Yeah,
it was impressive.
He's giving respect to the meat.
Yeah, that's it.
Mate, a lot of animals died for us.
Praise be to the meat.
47 animals died for our road trip.
my father was a butcher for years. My grandfather was a butcher for his whole life, so you do learn to grow up respecting meat when you come from a long line of butchers, Duke, just like you guys don't respect your meat.
Don't bring me into this, man.
I come from a long line of perverts.
Mate, when I was over there the other day getting the order, the guys at the butcher said check these out, and they ordered in these tomahawk steaks, which are essentially a bigger version of a cattleman's cutlet with a huge bone handle on them. Benny,
what do they weigh?
And I went, well, the one I got when I was there on Thursday, 1.2 kilos it was. It fed me for four meals.
Jesus.
So it was sensational. Grade 2 Black Angus Wagyu tomahawk steaks at the butcher shop. Now, they are so good.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
I was pretty impressed.
Just ask Phil, you know, Big Phil who manages.
Yeah.
Say, I want
it. Looks like a Phil. He also looks like he possibly could manage.
Yeah. Can I have a tomahawk?
Yeah, I want a tomahawk, please. Yeah. Oh, wow. Gold. Oh. Absolutely gold.
Maybe Mum will get a bit of meat instead of just the bone I chucked the last time.
Well, if you give it this bone, it'll be three times the length of the last one. So I don't
and
know.
This is getting dirty. Let's go. That's
Mrs. Edwards, dude.
The butcher shop at Kayleen. Get in there. Get it down your neck where the quality is remembered long after the price is forgotten.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the butcher shop, Kayleen.
Now it's time for my fifth favourite segment of the show. It's another one of Scotty's top fives. How many zingers you got for us this week?
Well, hopefully a few for you.
Doesn't sound sexual at all.
Wait. Well, I've spoken about it.
You are a bloody good sport, though. I'm a real top five hater, but I love you. I love you. I love you, and I just want you to know that.
It's becoming sheer bullying right now.
This workplace harassment.
Mate, aren't you you're working with vulnerable kids in school now, aren't you?
And vulnerable adults.
Oh, yeah.
right now.
obviously, I've been talking a bit about it, but yeah, we had the big hunting trip up to Lightning Ridge on the weekend. Got my first ever, because I shot a gun at a rabbit when I was 10. And since that, like, I've shot guns at paper targets in the past, but not hunted before. My cousins do it all the time. So I got my first pig on Saturday, and it was
a good feeling.
I tell you what, it was an adrenaline rush. Because I didn't shoot the pig. The dog took the pig down, and then I took the pig out. So
tell us that in a bit, eh?
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. So I don't want to.
It's primal, man.
Man, it is.
I say that all the time, but it's a real rush.
It seriously was, and it was just a great weekend. But we were sitting around having a few beers on Saturday night around the campfire, and we put a few photos up on social media, and a lot of friends and family going, "Oh God, wouldn't Russell Coit fit in with this lot?" And it was like, you know, I'm the office worker, you know, tech head, and everyone was like, "He's just going to die up there. Something's going to happen to him." Whereas my cousins know what they're doing; they've done it all the time. But I was telling them a story, and I remember, and I looked it up from 2010 when Bear Grylls got busted when he was doing Man vs. Wild. Now, the show was huge.
He got busted when I was reading his book, man.
Yeah, right.
So it really took the wind out of the sails.
Yeah. The guy's an SAS commando, and he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, mate, there's a broken neck and everything. Yeah.
Well, what do you bust? He doesn't
He was roughing it in heating and...
Because they dropped him up in the Pilbara at one point. I remember watching that episode in the Pilbara, and he's taken down an olive python, which is the second biggest python in Australia. and he's grabbed this python and he's kept it alive and just carried it around. The python was pissed off, and then he's killed it when he's got a fire cooking, and he's cooked up the snake and he's eaten it. But apparently later that night he was staying at a 5-star resort in Darwin. Right?
Really?
So, yeah, so that you know, the whole premise of his show. No, and it didn't happen all the time, but it happened a few times.
I know about
so,
this.
Because the premise of his show was he got dropped, he had the knife, he had the flint, and a compass, and that's all he had. And he showed you how to survive.
And a cameraman.
And a cameraman with him who apparently didn't help him because the cameraman obviously had to film. Yeah, well, in 2010, the allegations came out because a cameraman left the show and went, some nights he's staying in 5-star comfort. And he did do the drinking of his own pee, which has become a meme and very, very famous. You know, that picture of him looking solemnly off into the distance going, sun's going down, better drink my own piss.
Yeah.
And the other one where he got a big pile of elephant dung and squeezed the water out of it and drank that. He actually did that.
Duke's done that on a bender.
Yeah.
What was it, an elephant?
What was her name? I was going to say, what was the name?
Give it to me, I'll drink it on Netflix.
Anyway, it did get me thinking because, I mean, there were quite a few survival shows around at the time, but how do you know the survival show you're watching is legit? Well, I'm glad you asked.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut Top 5.
It's the top five signs a survival expert is faking it. Coming in at number five, looking closely at the rugged mountain range behind him, you notice the familiar shape of the Hollywood sign.
I was going to say, or the McDonald's sign.
He didn't even give me a chance to respond.
No, I'm just flipping you off after everyone now.
And here's the punchline. Fuck you, Edwards. Yes. Here's the next punchline. Fuck you, Edwards.
Number four. Someone always seems to place a mint on his sleeping bag at the end of each episode.
No? It's like a hotel bed.
Yeah.
I do you know what I do like? I do like it when you explain it. Yeah, I really do.
Sometimes I know he doesn't
get it. The sad thing is, I understand it.
Number three, when he's forced to drink his own piss to survive, you wonder where he got the ice cubes and the little umbrella.
Didn't even look that type, Scotty.
No, I'm not even
didn't even look.
Number two, the colourful bugs he's eating have little M's on them.
It's chocolate.
That was all right.
That's chocolate.
That was all right.
I reckon you'll like this one. There is the drum roll. Number one, in the top five signs a survival expert is faking it, the python he's wrestling is 6 inches long and has a circumcision scar.
That's all right.
Yeah. Not even.
Dick jokes.
Good work. I love
you,
Scotty.
Happy days.
Yeah. I'm back.
This podcast is recorded in a studio that's surrounded by three pubs. What could possibly go wrong?
My heart just stopped. There it goes.
Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. And now, with the Macedonian love god, it's time for the vast planet
of athletic endeavour.
A new world record for Usain Bolt.
Australia won the toss and they're going to bowl.
Scoring brilliant goals.
Nice hole in one on the PGA Tour.
Take it away, Stevie.
Stephen. Go.
Thank you, Scotty. Take two of this segment. We've had a bit of a glitch there going again. But
we only lost 18 seconds.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. But yeah, mate, that's 18 vital seconds.
During that 18 seconds, Stevie P accused me of going for Vikings. nearly got him a right hook. Yeah. An armbar.
That nearly got me an armbar ready for an uppercut.
Why are you talking
exactly.
Vikings, Steve?
So there, John Iden Cup Grand Final, the local rugby competition. The Grand Final is this weekend. Coming up against, now Duke's told me it's the Canberra Royals. Not, I always thought the Western Creek
Royals.
Well,
they're based in Western Creek.
Yeah.
Woden Western Creek's the area, but they're known as Canberra
Good
Royals.
Good from you. I like this. This is where Didier is
I'll take it from here, Steve.
Thank you. A bit of help from Didier in the bar segment.
3 p.m. Viking, be there. Be square. We're going to get 4,000 Royals blue baggers on the hill.
Yeah.
Can't
they're
wait.
Ready to support. Mate, Jimmy Dozer plays for them, doesn't he?
Yeah, like fourth grade, I think.
He plays for them. Yeah. Good on him.
So will Mike Houston be out there with your old
Mike used
weekend.
To be out there.
Yeah,
yep.
Nice.
Mate, you'd be surprised. The Royals community.
Just go out to Mike and go, what do you get for $50, Mike?
is your dad going to be out there with his Russian hat on and a wide back singlet?
Well, I'm going to
be some kind of novel. On,
I'll be having my Russian hat on. I'll be the guy on the hill with the wolf hat on, trust me. And hopefully, when Royals have got, we've got all our Brumbies back and the Vikings have got their Brumbies, so it's going to be a high quality game.
Yeah, it should be a cracker of a game. So this is the first time these two meet in a grand final since 2015, and it gives a chance for the Vikings, Duke, to get revenge after their major semi-final loss to the Royals last year. So
And also they lost the major semi-final 2 weeks ago as well.
Yeah.
To Tuggies. Tuggies lost to Royals. I was there for that game. It was a nail biter. So this one could go either way, but hopefully Royals have had it on and off season, but like they've come good at the right time. And Tuggeranong are always the team to beat. Mm. And it's the same for this. They were first place at the start of the season, at the end of the season. So hopefully we can knock them on the head.
Coming off a big thrashing as well of the Gungahlin Eagles over the weekend. So a big win for those Vikings, mate. But what do you make of the rumours, though, Duke, that the Eagles had some big spats throughout the year with their coach? There was all sorts of things going on in the changing room.
I have to ask Crafty, mate. Crafty, be listening.
Crafty,
what's going on?
Crafty, is he in the comments on Facebook, Crafty. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know what's happened. So that was the rumours I heard. There's been some big issues with the coach. A couple of bust ups in the sheds, that sort of stuff.
Well, Crafty is a coach, and if there was a bust up, I'd back him.
Crafty's a water boy.
Yeah, he's a water boy. Who are those Meg's you boys had of the guy from Happy Gilmore?
The caddy from Happy Gilmore. I'm your caddy.
Oh, so looking forward to that one. Duke will be there, ladies, so everyone wants to get out there on the weekend and watch
ladies,
that
mate. Anyway, I'm telling you now,
I might even join him, so hey, it'll be even double trouble out there. So, no, it'll be a good game of footy.
That's not Tinder.
Don't drag me down with you, mate. I've got a reputation.
Oh, you're a bumble man these days. Sorry, did you? Yeah, that's right. Moving on, in rugby circles, that's the first game of the Bledisloe Cup. Wanted to preview that quickly. 15 years since Australia has lifted the Bledisloe Cup. Can't see that changing, to be completely honest. We have a reasonable squad. I mean, it's a squad that, going back a few years ago, we picked a lot of guys who weren't capped as much. But if you look at the squad now, there's a lot of guys in there who have that sort of 21 test mark. You know, you've got guys that are in their early 10s, 20s. So there's guys there with plenty of experience. So Hooper, obviously the linchpin in the captaincy. And there's been talk that they're looking to tie him down now on a real long-term deal.
I think it's $6 million.
$6 million over 5 years. It's a sort of Mac Itto money, isn't it, from back in the day, Duke, to keep him involved with Australian rugby and firming as our captain. But I think if anywhere we're going to win this game, it'll be in the backs. We need some big performances from guys. Falau's our best player, in my opinion. He's a fantastic talent. But Korobidi is a player who's played, you know, almost 20 tests now for Australia. So he's got, 11 tests for Australia. But Reece Hodge, 27. Hayley Petty from the Rebels as well, 21. So there's guys there that have the experience and the quality to actually get us over the line. But I don't think we can match the might of the All Blacks, especially in the forward pack. Not at the moment, anyway.
We've come out, you know, we've delivered before when no one expected us to, like last year and the year before. Last year we were close, and a couple of years before
That's a good point. We did beat the All Blacks, but is it a case of, and I think the thing that suits us here, Duke, is that we've got the first game at home, which is this weekend, and then after that we've got the second game away. So if we can pinch that first game, gives us something to go into the next game with, and then we play the third game, which is back in Australia again in October. So
let's just like go in with an open mind and not hate Australian rugby for a second and just hope for the best.
Who are you?
Well, we'll see. I'll tell you after this week, if they don't win, I'll tell you who I am. My family's played a combined game for the Wallabies. I like to combine my non-games with Dad's games. So then my opinion gets a little bit more...
Gets a bit more weight.
Yeah, a little bit more weight to what I throw. To the accusations I throw around on the podcast.
So do you reckon we can actually do it then, Duke? Hand on heart, can you sit here and say, we will win?
No, you can't.
So there you go.
But I'm gonna support. I'm gonna put a bit of
cautiously.
I'm gonna put
optimistic.
Some coin on the Wallabies. $10
Well, that's worth it, though. What are we paying us? $3, $4 or something like that. We'll be
$30. Two-thirds of a case of beer.
Big spender, right?
That's the bone out of a tomahawk steak.
So that'll be good. Looking forward to that one this weekend. Boys Rugby Championship begins as well. South Africa coming up against Argentina. Etzebeth, their captain, looking to make his return. 10 months he's been out of the game through injury. So that'll be a big return for him. He's a big lock in you, Duke. He's taller than you even. He's a big, big man. You'd have him in any day. So that's the Bledisloe Cup, ladies and gentlemen. That starts this weekend. Local Rugby League, that's moving into its first week of finals this weekend. So some interesting results last weekend. We had the Roos, who were in first, coming up against the Westport Connor Warriors in fourth. Warriors fighting for their lives to make it into the top four because there was a chance that Yass could come up and actually, if they beat Goldwyn, get in that position. So that took place as expected. But unexpectedly, the Warriors put in a really great performance on a wet, miserable afternoon. I was out there on Saturday afternoon at Kippax. 18-16, the Warriors came up trumps over the Kangaroos, which means that the Queanbeyan Roos moved down to third place now. The Bushies won their game.
They did.
So they move up.
They've been good. They had a bit of a stumble the last couple of weeks, but the Bushies have come back.
So they come back, beat the Queanbeyan Blues, and they moved into first place. So they won their minor premiership, which was great for them. And then you had Woden Valley, the surprise packet of the local comp. They've had a great year all round. All grades have made the finals. I think they even won the club championship. They had a fantastic year. Woden snuck into second after thrashing the Belconnen Sharks. They absolutely smoked them up. So they're in a position now where it'll be Woden coming up against the Bushies this week, and then the Roos will host West Belconnen in the second of the semi-final. So
are the Belconnen Sharks the Sharks again? Did they turn
Bill to Connor, the Scholars? They were Scholars.
Because I was with them when they were Sharks, but then they changed to the Scholars or something.
I think it's Scholars and now they're Sharks.
No place for Scholars in rugby league.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
that's true.
I think it was.
Oh, that's cool. So they got a pretty competitive first grade team.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Yeah.
That's awesome.
They're going great at the moment, yeah. So, are you talking about Belconnen, you mean?
Yeah.
No. Sorry. So we're getting confused here. Belconnen are the Scholars / Sharks, and they were dead last this year. They won zero games.
So it's the complete opposite of what I thought.
That's right, yeah.
West Belconnen are, pretty
Belconnen good. Are a good team, Benny. That's right, yeah. So we're getting confused with the Warriors.
But the Sharks filled in a team.
Yeah, yes. That's all right. It. They were in the comp
baby
and
steps.
Played.
They're no
baby
longer steps. Scholars.
No longer Scholars. Got that.
They don't read.
For and against wasn't too good.
Exactly. So that's going to be coming up, which is going to be interesting. First weekend of finals there in the Canberra Raiders Cup. The NRL merry-go-round when it comes to coaches continues, boys. This is just becoming a huge farce. Looks like Bennett may not be continued on.
They won't
extend his contract after 2019.
Correct.
He's lost the plot, hasn't he?
But he's also, though, there's talk that he's actually sounded out a move for next year now ahead of that. If I'm not going to get continued on, I'm going to sound out a move ahead of next year.
There's talk at Penrith with Phil Gould. Could you imagine the two of them? They hated each other through Origin period.
There's no way.
It'd be the odd couple. It'd be like bloody Ben and Duke.
Yeah.
But we're doing all right. We're doing all right, man.
Yeah, hey, we're going.
We've got a couple of years.
I'll tell you this, mate. If you got, like, personalities aside, you put those two heads together. You struggle to get two better footy heads.
Yeah, well, Bennett is the second winningest coach in rugby league history, but behind Craig Bellamy.
Is he still?
Is it?
Yeah.
Wasn't Jack Gibson up there?
No. Oh, he was good, but I think Bellamy's at like 74.
Oh, sorry, you're talking about winning percentage?
Yeah, sorry, winning percentage, yeah. And Bennett's like 73.1 or something.
Yeah,
Is he still as good as he used to be? Is he getting on a bit, or what are your thoughts on that?
I think he's getting close to the end, if you ask me.
Because I remember like way better than the 80s when the Broncos first popped up.
Yeah.
Or early 90s, whatever. He was just a gun straight off the bat.
That was pretty much... Because it was three quarters. It was three quarters of the Queensland side, three quarters of the Australian side. Same as Bellamy has had.
Yeah.
And everyone goes, Craig Bellamy, best coach ever. He had the best spine that's probably played rugby league in a club side together.
Ever.
And when Bellamy went to Origin, he was shithouse.
Yeah.
He didn't do well
for New South Wales.
No,
that's
terrible.
True. Yeah, two seasons, didn't he, Scotty?
Yeah, two seasons and lost them both. Yeah. So terrible. So
against his own Storm players?
Correct.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And there was talk at the time that he wouldn't give the New South Wales players the insight on how to beat them. And if anyone knew, it'd be him. So
that's a pretty controversial comment to say.
And I stand by it.
But that's interesting, though, when you think about it like that, isn't it? Didn't want to,
How old was Bennett, Neil?
Oh, he'd been
703.
I read in Lockie's book
he's definitely grumpy. Yeah, he's grumpy. I think he's grumpy.
He's in his 70s. He's 71. I think.
I read in Lockie's book that everyone just had the utmost respect for him as a coach. Like he knew everyone's name.
Yeah.
He knew their family interests. Like took
the time,
learned all the new players and everything. Yeah. Really personable guy, despite what we see from the outside.
Well,
the inside, man, like just a great guy.
You look at Darius Boyd, and as much as Darius Boyd's come under fire for being a bit of a sook over the years, he had a very, very troubled upbringing, Darius, and Wayne was like a father figure to him, picked him up as a teenager, and that's why Darius went to St. George,
follows him around,
went to Newcastle and went back to Brisbane, right, because he considers him as his father. And Alex McKinnon speaks the same way about Wayne Bennett as well. Like Wayne Bennett brought Alex McKinnon in, and what he did for the McKinnon family after Alex broke his neck, like there wasn't many reports on that stuff, but apparently he went to the next level. So there's no doubt he's a stand-up dude.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, but the thing is, you've got to pull the pin on the time when it actually comes coaching-wise, and you hope that the other guys have the respect for him as well. So where he goes is going to make a difference. Trent Barrett's been talked about leaving Manly as well.
It's a funny position.
Seabold might be moving to Brisbane. It's just the merry-go-round is getting ridiculous at the moment. Let these blokes have their crack and that's it.
It's a weird position to be in when you're sort of coming to the end of the road and you've had such a dominant career. I remember I read in Shawn Michaels' book that he had a conversation with Triple H, like when they were back doing DX again in the last couple of years. Shawn was on the road and he said, mate, you got to let me know if I start slipping in the ring and I can't see it and you know, you think it's time for me to call it a day, you gotta let me know.
Yeah.
But who's gonna tell Wayne Bennett to call it a day? He doesn't have like a sidekick. He's the
Ben Eichen needs to.
People are starting to say.
No, they are. Well, the club is. The club's made the call.
Yeah, that's got to happen. So that's interesting. We'll see how that one pans out as well. Billy Slater retired as well last week, and that's all that's saying about that.
Grub.
Exactly right. Moving on to the golf. Brooks Koepka won his second major of the year, joined an elite group of golfers, including the names of Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, of winning two majors in a year. Exactly. So fantastic performance from him. He won the US PGA Championship. But the big story out of this, and I don't want to take the limelight off Koepka. Fantastic player. He's under 30. He's won three majors under 30. There's only a select group of about five or six. Lee Trevino, I think even Seve Ballesteros, some of the greats of all time who have won three majors before the age of 30. But the big story about this was Tiger Woods finishing second. He had an excellent last round.
It was close.
How loud was the crowd?
They were right behind him.
They went full Happy Gilmore.
And not to mention as well, he had a big British Open as well, if you go back about, four weeks ago, Scotty? He had a big British Open, finished in the top three or four there, and now he's in a position where he's finished second, and he had a great last round. He's got some momentum, Duke. I reckon he can win it again, but what I want to do is play some audio here. This has been an ongoing argument on ESPN's First Take between Max Kellerman, who Benny knows quite well, and Stephen A. Smith. This is all about whether or not Tiger's going to win another major or not. These blokes have been at loggerheads about this for ages. Stephen A's a big in the no camp. He's done. Whereas you've got Max saying there is absolutely no doubt this guy's not going to win. And I almost wonder with these two blokes.
You have to.
Trust me, from working in a team environment as a commentator in radio, you couldn't all go in and have the same opinion. Someone had to
play
devil's
advocate.
That's
why I'm always against the top five.
let's just make the show interesting. Edwards, fuck you. Let's just play the audio.
Tiger Woods is back.
Please.
Tiger Woods is back, and let me tell you what I mean by that.
Sure.
He will win another major. I'm telling you that right now. Phil Mickelson won one at 43. Mm-hmm. Lee Trevino won one at 44. 20 golfers have won a major at 42 or older.
20?
And he is clearly a greater golfer, at his best he was, than Mickelson or Lee Trevino. Not close.
That's right.
Okay.
I agree.
The only guy comparable to him really is Nicklaus, who won a major at 46.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do I mean by Tiger's back? What I mean is not that he's going to be as great as he once was, but you can now look at Tiger because he's healthy. You can now look at him physically. You can now look at him as though he's Tiger Woods, who's aged naturally.
Mm-hmm.
He had a premature aging process, not just because of all the controversy, but because he had a bad back, he couldn't swing.
So that's Max Kellerman there, waxing lyrical about how Tiger's going to win it. I can just picture the opposite side of that. It's just Stephen A. saying, no way, he's not going to win it at all. I could play you 10 minutes of that stuff, and they do it almost every third episode.
You know what, he's probably right. Like, his back problems have been well documented.
But that was his biggest problem, though, Scotty. Never mind what happened with his marital issues and all that sort of stuff. Put that aside.
If anyone's going to defend him, Steve Payos will defend him.
He had a few flings. Give him a break.
What? He caught up with a few mates.
He was acting like Payos, but Payos isn't married, so it's all right.
Thank you. Yeah, no worries. Coming from Chief Grubb himself, did you? That's not bad. There he is. But Tiger, like, I think he's a huge chance of winning another major. There's no way.
How can you write him off?
I wouldn't say there's no way he won't, but writing him off, Benny, as you say, I don't think you can, because he's got that talent. He's a guy who was winning plenty of majors in his 20s and his 30s, had those issues where he had to take a few years off for personal reasons, but then his back started playing up as well. But he's had that fuse now and all sorts of things. So that was a huge result in the world of golf.
He's the most famous tennis guy of all... tennis.
Idiot.
Golf guy of all. I got Tiger. He's the most famous golfer of all time. How can you possibly write
him? This is a guy as well, the face of Nike for so many years, you know, next to Federer, next to Thierry
Henry. He was the first
Henry,
mainstream golfer that I know of.
Yeah.
Everyone like Tiger Woods, everyone knows him.
Yeah.
To say that about anyone else on the roster. Like,
to actually watch and see that. So let's see how that pans out going into next year. Boys.
I'd love to see him win one.
Yeah,
I'd love to see him win
one more. Can you imagine
that? At least.
But how do you reckon he'd be seen in the media then? Will that be retribution? Will that be or will it be you're still a grub type of thing, but you're a great golfer?
Media's fickle like that. They'll let it go.
I'll bring him back.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Steve Smith, Dave Warner stuff, isn't it? It's all that sort of stuff with the cricketers and the cheating too. They'll be forgiven as soon as
of course they will.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. I hope he wins, put it that way. I'd love to see him win another one.
That would be cool.
Couple of quick sports bites over the weekend. England defeating India, second test over there, an innings and 150 odd as well. It was a very bizarre game at Lord's in that the first day was completely rained out. The second day, England bowled at India for 107. It was like pitch black almost all day. The ball was swinging cartwheels everywhere. It was all over the place. Yeah, right. England came out and got, I think it was about 450 or something like that. They had a huge lead on the first innings and then came out and bowled them out. Wokes got 100 for England, so that was a big win. Rafael Nadal won in Toronto over the weekend, the Masters Series event. He beat Tsitsipas, the young tennis player, who had a great run to make it to the final of that event, which was huge. But Nadal showing his class as we head into the US Open, which is the fourth major of the tennis year, which is coming up in a couple of weeks' time from Flushing Meadows in New York.
Was that a clay contest?
No, the hard court in Toronto. And then they go into the final major of the year hard court, Benny, there at Flushing Meadows there in Queens in New York City. So that'll be a big one. Finally, boys, I wanted to make note of an interesting thing that's happening coming up soon. It is Klitschko versus Lennox Lewis number 2, following their famous bout 15 years ago.
Is that
Except
real?
This time, they're not actually going to box in the ring. They're going to have a game of chess in the ring. That's coming up next
both,
month.
They're both pretty bloody...
Yeah, savvy blokes. Yeah. So you got Klitschko at 52, who's the mayor of Kiev now. So he's probably on his way to being...
This is Vitali, not Vladimir.
Vitali, that's right.
They had an epic fight back in the 90s, which was awesome.
2003, I think, Benny?
Yeah,
15 years ago. But it was an epic fight. Lennox Lewis beat him.
Yeah. Because Vitali had to stop because of cuts.
Yeah.
But it was a crack. Like, that
was a cracker of a fight.
But that's also what sort of redeemed the Klitschko's a bit, was Vitali. Like, everyone saw how tough Vitali was.
Yeah.
Because he did have a bit of a reputation. He pulled out of a fight during the fight with an arm injury or something the fight before. Yep. So he didn't have a reputation as a tough guy. Everyone thought he was just a bit of a big pussy.
Yeah.
Don't know if you have to beep that. But this was really, even though he lost, this was his
flat
redemption.
Bully though,
his
flat
redemption
bully,
to the American audience that I'm a tough guy and I'm a world-class boxer and I come to fight.
And they went through that era as well, the Klitschko brothers, where they just absolutely dominated. They didn't fight
that
each
was
other.
The start
they owned
of,
all the different belts.
That was the last sort of loss, I think, Vitali had went on.
So at 52, Lennox is 50 as well, I think, or something like that. They're both quiet. Or it could be 47, Klitschko, 52.
Well, it's nice
Lennox,
to see that they're just playing chess.
Yeah.
I like that.
That'll be boring as bat.
Yeah. I won't watch it.
I don't want to see someone cheats
and
it goes bad.
I don't care who wins.
It was an interesting story I saw. I was like, oh, here we go. This is anything. So, that was an interesting one. They're going to be having a chess match. And just quickly, Ronaldo makes his debut coming up in the Serie A. He scored on his friendly debut over the weekend, but he makes his debut for Juventus after his move from Real Madrid. That's coming up this weekend in the Serie A.
And is the same sign with the same?
He
box?
Has, mate. Yeah, yeah, big news. Yeah, but he's gonna be definitely
trialing. No guarantee of a game.
That's correct. Okay. But it was rumoured that with Central Coast Mariners. So he's going to be living on the Central Coast. I'll tell you what, there's some funny stories in the paper that last week about, like, come on. He loves Australia as is. He loves, you know, everyone knows he's a bit like Duke Didier. Likes to, you know, have a bit
of
fun.
Nice try, mate. Don't try and get back on me. Don't try and get back on me. I zinged it.
How
zinged
much is
before.
He on? Yeah.
He's not going to be on anything. It's just a trial, mate. So he's just coming for a trial because he actually wants to be a professional footballer. He actually wants to have a crack. And he's probably made, in my opinion, a good choice. He's come to a league which isn't a top, top, top class league. He's gone to a team who was last year dead last, I believe, or they were second last. Yeah, they're not a great team. They were champions 5 years ago, Mariners, but in recent years they've declined rapidly. So he's picked a team where he's actually got a chance of sort of trialing and potentially having a go. So he's got a 6-week trial coming up soon. We'll see how he goes, mate. Put it this way, if he makes it, it's going to be huge.
If he makes
for the
it,
league.
I will watch A-League.
Yeah, it'll be huge. Yeah. Who's not going to want to actually watch Usain Bolt have a run around? It's going to be massive. So I personally don't think he's going to get one. I think you've got to have that nous of having the football at your feet for sort of 10, 15, 20 years, which he hasn't had. Apparently he's skilled and he's got plenty of pace. shit. But whether or not
he could beat test scores, I imagine.
Yeah, but whether he can put it together on the soccer field, we're yet to see. But yeah, watch your space on that one.
Need advice? You've come to the wrong place. It's listener question time.
All right, it is listener question time, and I do believe after getting a shout out last week that the Spinkster, Spinky, has had a bit
Spanky,
of a crack.
Spanky, Pinky,
what
Spinky.
What does he do for a living?
Daniel
he's sending in bloody questions all afternoon.
Yeah, writing them down on paper.
Yeah, writing them on
it's
paper
brilliant.
And sending his photos.
Mate, he's a truck driver. Yeah, he's a truck driver. Okay. Goes and does deliveries all around the area. Goes down to Bateman's Bay, goes down to Eden, goes to Goulburn Jail regularly and has a spine Ivan for us. So he's a bit of a character, Daniel Spink. He's very grateful for the shout out. He's come through with some great questions this week. First one is for you, Benny. So this is, as we've seen as well, we might have to put this up. almost. It's this goal written
down. I'll put these photos up.
It's just brilliant. Written down on a piece of paper is brilliant. Ben, as far as your achievements go, I'm sure knocking out Hopper is not one of them. However, it must have given you great satisfaction to sit that clown down. I was there that night and the punters were going wild in the bar. So my question to you is, what factor does the crowd play in your performance? Does it pump you up or do you block it out?
No, you can definitely feel the energy of the crowd. Specifically, that's probably the
hometown fights.
Well, even if the crowd hates you, it still pumps you up.
Yeah.
As long as the crowd's into it. It's the worst part is when you got to. I had a fight at Manly Lees Club at like 1 o'clock in the morning. There's like 20 fights on the card. No one pulled out.
Yeah.
Because you usually overbook and a few pull out and you finish at midnight or whatever.
Mm.
No one pulled out. So I'm the last fight of the night.
1 a.m. Everyone.
1 a.m. No one gives a shit. Everyone's been sitting there for 6 hours. I look up. They're just falling asleep, playing Snake on their phone. It was 10 years ago. No one gave a shit. But even if the crowd's booing, it's awesome. You definitely feel the energy of the crowd. But with the Hopper crowd, there was like 99% of the crowd on my side. That was insane. The venue was over. There were people like looking in from outside. There was like 4 Tongans up the back, which were going for Hopper, and that was it.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. It can be a bit of a bummer if the crowd's not into it, but if the crowd's into it and they want your head on the plate or they're cheering for you.
What about those experiences? Tell the listeners a little bit about like when you fought in Japan, you fought in Romania, you fought at, Madison Square. Like, what was the energy like in those venues? Just crazy.
Japan's very unique. Like that, you can hear a pin drop, but the crowd is into it.
And their rock shows are like that too. They're just very respectful. Yeah.
And then they're so into it. Like they're all just sitting there like real attentive, looking at every move and just so appreciative that you're there and you're putting it on the line. And my first fight in Japan, I lost and I'm all bummed out and my team's bummed out. And after people are getting autographs off me and they're just looking at me in admiration. I'm like, you're looking for the other guy? You're actually looking for me? Like,
they're awesome. Yeah, yeah.
They run up to you on the street. Even before my fight, I just had like a Australian fight team jacket on and people are running up and getting autographs. They had no idea who I was. They just knew that I was a fighter.
It's just because you're giant.
Yeah. It was awesome. The Japs are the best crowd.
Man. I disagree with the comments about it.
They're the best crowd.
I fought there and I didn't enjoy it at all.
But
I fought Japanese there though, both times. And
yeah, you fought at home.
Yeah,
fought
the law.
I fought in the Tokyo Dome and I was the same. They're very
that's
quiet.
That's where I fought too. Kurukuyan Hall.
Yeah, I don't know which Kurukuyan one. Yeah, I think that's the one.
Yeah, that's where I fought. That's where I lost.
I lost there too. So
I lost against the Jap too.
So stories.
But in America, it's a little bit different. The crowd's really into it, but they were really cool too, man. That's where I met Idris Elba. He came up to me afterwards. I had no idea who he was, but everyone after that was just, "Oh, you're a great fight, bro." You got through more sidekicks.
The actor?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, that was 2013.
Next James Bond.
Americans are like real quick. And even at the airport. Yeah.
That's what Daniel Craig's got one more, doesn't he? Craigie's got one more.
They're talking Idris Elba will be the next Bond.
Yeah. No, good for him. But it's definitely... But in... most people are pretty cool. I've got to admit, most people are pretty cool.
So it pumps you up whether they're with you or against you?
Yeah. Oh, I've had the crowd wanted more head on a plate.
In Romania?
Penrith wasn't very...
Serbia.
Penrith wasn't pleasant.
Romania. Yeah. Penrith.
Liverpool.
Serbia. Penrith. Liverpool.
Serbia was interesting because I fought their dude there. There was about 2,000 people
in this. That's when you nearly killed that bloke.
That's probably my biggest knockout. And he dropped and you could hear a pin drop. But I was 23 years old. I was all pumped up and I'm banging my chest. And you can't see it on the video, thank God, because they zoomed in on the other guy. And I'm there going, and my trainer's like, Benny, just do the odd, cut it out, mate. Come over here, they're going to kill us. And then we're in the corner and he wipes the blood off me and stuff and he goes, go see if he's alive. And then I went up to check on him.
Yeah, you did.
And everyone clapped.
Yeah.
Well, that's
and
nice.
I'm still friends with him on Facebook. We wish each other happy birthday and shit.
Yeah. Sportsman, you nearly killed your happy birthday,
now,
buddy.
Now, Duke's question, Steve.
Now, I'll go to you next, Scotty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is fantastic. I'll rate this. Good morning, Scotty. Unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, my guns got taken away from me. Maybe I could come on your next trip and borrow yours, but can you please tell me how the hunting trip went?
Well, if Spinky's listening, he knows the hunting trip was awesome. I don't have any guns. I just used my cousin's.
But you enjoyed it so much.
I applied for my gun license in the car on the way home, and I've already booked in to do my gun safety course.
How much you liked it.
I will have guns
I've
soon.
I've done mine.
Yeah. Have you, Benny?
Yeah, but back in the... My dad was the treasurer at the Canberra National Pistol Club for 20 years.
Right, that's so right. I grew up shooting stuff,
but then when I flatlined a few fools, I can't get my license.
Open book Edwards.
And you got another one soon, Scotty, as well?
Yeah, I think we're going to try and do a trip up to Cooler, which would be good because there's less K's to get to Cooler. But same
big drive you went on. You almost drove to Queensland, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much. Same amount of pigs at Cooler. So, yeah. Good. Yeah. So, Spinky, yeah, no, you can't come.
Yeah. And last one here. Duke, your old man was one of Canberra's finest footballers.
What happened to you?
Yeah. Look at me.
Could he fight and could you play footy? That's a great question.
It is.
Well, it's a two-prong question. Yeah, so... Well, we've actually fought playing football together, so that answers both. So I grew up playing football.
But I started martial arts to help your footy.
Yeah, right. So I started judo to help my rugby union. They said it'd help your tackling when I was 9.
Yeah,
at
right.
Morris College. Morris has a judo club and a very, very prominent rugby club.
Yeah.
So I was always rugby, grew up rugby, just like, dad sort of thing. Yep. And then... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just started liking fighting a lot more than footy, and I just went that way. Like, I played until I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
But
did
I just
you really? You played that long?
I played for Royals Colts, and I played a couple of games for first grade. And yeah, look, I honestly love rugby.
What position were you?
Well, you're
a lock. I was a lock. Yeah, I started at prop, but I got a bit tall.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Look, honestly, I love rugby, and I still do.
Great sport.
I just love, and I love, you know, I go down to Royals games still and watch the Wallabies and all that. It's just. I had to go with something else.
So you could play.
I could play.
Could your old man fight as good as you?
Well, we used to wrestle every day.
Yeah.
And he would bash me every day.
Yeah.
Until I was about 15, I caught him in an armbar. So. And I was king of the house. Mum was crying. It was a beautiful day.
It was a big moment.
It's still one of my top five sporting achievements.
The day I put my dad in an armbar.
Yeah. But then for about 5 more years, he flogged the crap out of me. But honestly, yeah, with dad, it was a funny one. We played a game together for third grade for Royals, and I looked up from the ruck, and dad was going smack for smack with a 25-year-old Polynesian. And I don't have any brothers, but I know the rule is if your brother's in a fight, well, you get in there, you don't ask him. So I've just I've screamed. and then I've run over, and the first bloke was trying to break it up. So I didn't, I just.
You've creamed
just,
him.
Just, so I just creamed him, yeah. Anyway, we both got red carded, and mum wasn't very impressed about the whole thing. She walked over to dad. She was checking on me. And dad's walked over and dad's gone, my nose. And mum's looking at me, fussing over me, and gone, head swung at dad and gone, you stupid, pathetic old man. why are you still fighting? You're 50 something years old.
Yeah.
And we went to the judiciary and I got 4 weeks and dad only got 2 because I was third man in.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm sitting there in the judiciary and I said, well, what do you expect? I saw my dad in a fight.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You've got to be some kind of circumstances for this. There's no precedence.
Yeah.
So, that was interesting. But, dad can fight. And he did spend about, he spent the entire 1980s and 1990s bashing poor rugby players. I'd love to play a couple more games before I stop doing sports. So hopefully one day I'll get to put on a Royals jersey
play,
back
mate. If you play first grade, look, come on, let's be honest. If you're playing first grade rugby around here, it's been pretty tough.
Mate, I got off the bench. I was off the bench. I was 17 years old playing first grade and I was not ready for first grade.
I was the big fat 17-year-old playing against men in the front row.
I remember grabbing someone.
Getting poleaxed.
Yeah, I was just, But honestly, now I'm a man. I'd love to just get a few back on those old pricks of it. Anyway,
thanks,
good question,
Spinky.
Thanks, Spinky. Great questions, mate. Beautiful.
Good on you, Spink.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Kayleen.
Well, another wonderful episode comes to a close. Episode 16 of season 3 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
63 total.
Crew.
How?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Something like that, Stephen. We would have had more. There was sickness and we probably died up around 80. I did. Yeah, there was that. Yes.
You really
you died
over
Charlie.
Yes, I did, didn't I? Yeah.
So you took 2 weeks off?
Yeah, I did.
Lazy.
Yeah, I know.
Lazy.
Soft as shit.
What heart stops.
Soft as
shit. Just an adult question. Will we get to episode 69 this year? Or?
Yes, we will.
How many more do we have?
I think I worked it out the other day. I think we've got about 12 or 13 left this season.
All right.
So, we will finish up as we do last week of October, first week of November is generally where
Steaming
the podcast
up. Wait to hear our
up,
Christmas
so.
Party podcast.
Yeah, and there will be a Christmas episode of the podcast again. So make sure you keep tuning in, keep sharing it around, do all that sort of stuff. Next week, more silliness on the podcast, of course. But before we get out of here, uppercut of the week. And Ben, you didn't prepare for
personal. This one's personal.
You didn't prepare for your segment, but you said you did prepare for an uppercut this week.
Yeah? I finally got one.
It's right. Just a personal vendetta.
And so, it's just an uppercut this week. It's not everyone else's sound effect. It's just well, you.
It should be. It should be an armbar from me for the irony of the what I'm about to say.
Okay, but so anyway, what do you
let's
got?
Just go
what
with it. So I just put up a photo of me just training with Carly, my missus. It's just like a fun, lighthearted photo. Duke took the photo.
I took the photo.
Freaking brown belt took the photo.
Yeah.
It's just like we're just hanging out. It means nothing. It's just a lighthearted photo.
It wasn't a technical session.
Not at
it was
all.
A role.
Yeah. Not at all. And all these nerds come up and comment like, oh, mate, you know your head was on the wrong side and her arm should have been here.
Ben's blowing up.
imagine if I said to them, like they're just doing cool shit with their missus, just hitting pads or something. And I'm like, oh, have you been teaching your missus boxing? Oh, mate, her form's fucking terrible. You're a shit coach. that's a fucking dog, man. Like, mind your own fucking business, you nerd. Why don't you put up photos with your missus? A, you're either a fucking virgin, or B, you fear the backlash of assholes like you commenting on the photo. So fuck you and cop this.
Sensational.
I was going to say worse, but that'll do.
That is an uppercut, isn't it?
No, seriously, stay in your fucking lane.
It wasn't like you put up a photo going, I'm training for this fight and check out this wonderful
and they're like, have you
done?
Been training your missus? Oh, mate, you're shit.
Yeah.
Really? Look, let's have a fight and see what happens. I'll armbar your fucking eyeball with my thumb.
I'll make sure he does.
Jeez, there was some editing there, wasn't there?
How good
was
that?
That was fantastic. Wow. And on that note, Canberra, I'll say get a big black dog up, yeah?
Don't miss me too much, Canberra.
you've got the worst head.
Worst head.
You've tripped me up. I was waiting.
I know I'm not a model, but you don't have to rub it in.
Oi, everyone learn how to do re-naked chokes properly, Canberra.
Have a good week. I've long given up on this part.
That's all right.
Well, that's a wrap. And let me guess what happened in this episode. Duke and Ben argued over who was Canberra's favourite fighting son. Steve pronounced some ethnic sports folks' surnames correctly. And Scotty said something about the Newcastle Knights and tried to impress Edwards with a top five. Am I right? Yeah, thought so. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast couldn't be made possible without our wonderful, long-standing sponsor, The Butcher Shop Kayleen. Wrap your gob around one of their sausages. You'll love it. Till next time.